May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn number 30. The soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. Hymn number 30.
Thank you. Reading for this morning hour you can find in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thus far the reading of God's most holy word. May he add his blessing and teach us to pray. Almighty, glorious, and majestic God, O Lord, we do bow before thy holy presence. Thou whom the angels did testify, holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, and did cover their faces with their wings. O majestic and almighty God, glorious and wondrous in all thy ways. Yet, O Lord, thou art gracious and merciful, tender and full of love. And O great God, thou hast given us that throne of mercy, Oh, that place where we come even today with this company of poor sinners. And together, Lord, we may fall at thy feet to worship and to call upon thy holy name. Oh, Lord, do give us a spirit of true worship and a right feeling of reverence in thy presence, for thou art holy. Oh, Lord, that our hearts this day may be humbled and that we might come as poor sinners to call upon thy most gracious name. And to cry this morning hour again, Lord, for thy tender mercies to be poured into our poor souls, and for thy precious love to soften our spirits and grant us that tender obedience of sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. O Lord, that thou who art almighty in power would apply that power within us by thy precious word, and that thou, Lord, might break the hardest of hearts. Oh, that thou would cleave then the earth, that thou would cleave our hearts to peace, and that we might see, Lord, the filth and the stench of our natural heart, its unworthiness, its inability, its loathsomeness. Oh, Lord, that we might come with haste and come with urgent needs this day to thy throne of grace. And, Lord, we plead for thy presence. Oh, that thou would come down now in our midst, sending forth thy blessed Holy Spirit, that the word, that there may be a word of utterance and a door of liberty given, that we might speak, O Lord God, into the hearts of the hearers through thy word, and that thou in thy graciousness may be pleased to apply it, that we as a company of poor sinners may be granted, Lord, that sweet liberty to worship at the feet of Jesus Christ and to receive that sacred gospel into our souls according unto thy precious will. Lord, remember us, for we are full of sins and backslidings and full of weakness and full of perverseness. But thou art almighty and all through that blood of Christ able to overcome. Overcome then even this day, that we might be won over unto thee, and that truly, Lord, we might become that sighing and groaning and weeping and supplicating people, all grieving for our sins, or else, Lord, the tears of love flowing for the wonders of Calvary and thy love in Jesus Christ. Lord, do remember us, each one of us in our needs. How various are the needs, but thou knowest all things, and the very thoughts and intents of our hearts are known unto thee, for thou, O Lord God, knowest everything. Oh, what a mercy that we may come today again, and to call upon thy name, Lord, and to confess our sins before thee, and that thou knowest our need. Remember us then, Lord, in this day, and bless us all together. Oh, we pray for a rich blessing on thy people, the melting of their hearts and that furtherance of that knowledge of salvation. Oh, that poor sinners, even now, may rejoice in Christ their Savior and sing the song of Blessed Mary, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Lord God, do give us then those gifts up from heaven, those good and heavenly gifts, those perfect gifts which flow down from thee through Christ Jesus. Show us, Lord, the emptiness and poverty of this world and the exceeding great riches of these blessings. Oh, favor us, Lord, and do not pass us by. How solemn, how sad shall be the day when thou art not pleased to dwell within us and here in our midst. How empty shall be the preaching, how vain shall be our attendance. Do come now then, O Lord, that thy name may be glorified, that thou might be exalted in our midst. Oh, that tongues may be tuned to sing the praises of God, thy wondrous work amongst the church, and that we might leave the doors of this house of praying, a prayer praising thee, and that we might say this or that man was born in Zion. Bless us then, Lord, with faith. It is thine to give, and we cry, Lord, give us faith. Lord, increase our faith. Oh, to remember us in thy kingdom and bless us with the riches of thy gospel. Lord, we set before thee the dear deacons that are called upon time after time to lead and to choose the hymns. Remember them, Lord, in their great needs and responsibilities. Help them and guide them and lead them. And to remember thy dear servants throughout this land and in America, Australia. Yea, Lord, not just of our cause, but all those whom thou hast sent out to preach thy gospel, anointed with thy spirit, and was thrust out that they might be willing, that they might love to preach the gospel of their Savior. Lord, remember these poor earthen vessels, trembling with the Apostle Paul, with weakness and trembling and fear, called to speak the truths of Jesus Christ crucified, called and exhorted to preach the truths of man's fallen state. Oh, set their faces as flint against the hardness of the hearers, and Lord, that they might glorify thee day and night, give them strength and liberty, and fill them with thy spirit, and that they might cease not to cry day and night upon the walls of Jerusalem. Lord, remember the field of poverty. Remember the aged ones, Lord, and feel their weakness. Feel the frailty of the body laid aside by sickness to remember each one. Oh, grant them, Lord, that sweetness to testify and tell to the generations following of thy sacred faithfulness to them. Stir them up and give them more strength. Remember those in darkness and trials and troubles. Oh, that they, Lord, might be freed and liberated, and that they might testify of thy wonderfulness, thy loveliness. And so, Lord, remember each of thy servants. Lord, to remember our dear friends at home, called upon to read the sermons again this day. Oh, bless them, fill them with anxiety, fill them with prayer, and a resting at thy throne of grace. Be merciful there as well. Work mightily now, O Lord, in our midst, throughout this land, home, and abroad. Almighty God, that thou would convert now and bring out of Satan's kingdom into thy marvelous night. Oh, the need is great. The harvest is so plenteous and the labors few. Work now, O God, we pray, for thy great name's sake. Remember those in authority in this land, those in authority in our land. O gracious God, do remember us in our state in darkness and sinfulness. Oh, when there seems to be such an impudence against thee, O Lord, such ranting and raving against thee and thine anointed. But we would say, Lord, there's nothing changed. Oh, that sacred psalm where thou didst proclaim, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And Lord, we lie now in this time in that utter state of darkness. Lord, that thou may plant thy mercy and thy light in our leaders, and in wrath remember mercy. We beg, Lord, that thou might remember thy sacred and thy precious holy word, and those in that enormous task of translation. Bless their labors, and even now send it throughout this world, in this dark world of apostasy and atheism, and the worship of false gods. O Almighty God, break down every wall and every fence and every barrier, and send that word yet now victorious through the world, that the light of the gospel may be known. O Lord, we are dark and sunk in sin, but do have mercy on us, and even here in this amongst this people, and in our whole in our land, Lord, we fear that where thy precious word is found in abundance, oh, what ignorance and what lack of hunger there is. Fill us, O great God, with a hunger for thy precious word. And let that word be found not only in our homes, not only on our shelves, and not only in our bedrooms, but let that word be found in our souls. Lord, remember us. Forgive us our many sins. And Lord, we set before thee again this day all those that are sick, the grieving souls, the sorry ones, who have tasted the bitterness of death again. We especially remember our beloved friend at home in the loss of his dear mother. Lord, remember them, that it might be that testimony to the soul, that might be the softening of the heart and the cry for the preparation of their own souls. Lord, remember them in sickness and weakness, and remember them with sorrows too heavy to bear. Grant them, Lord, that trust in thee, O do come, thou gracious, thou good Samaritan, to bind up the wounds where none other could or would. O that thou would counsel those in distress, and appear, O gracious Jesus, to lift up the downcast. O glorify thy precious self, manifest thy compassion and thy goodness to such ones, that they may thank thee for the affliction, the tear, and the sorrow. O great God, now we return unto thee in the supplications and prayers with thanksgivings, and offer unto thee, Lord, the praises that thou art worthy. And we do thank thee, O most high God, that there is none like unto thee, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of thy heritage, and forgiveth iniquity. O great God, that thou art almighty in power, and that thou hast broken and destroyed the bands of Satan, that great adversary, that roaring lion, who goeth about seeking whom he may devour. O all praises unto thee, that he has been destroyed. O he is but a short time, and that thou, Lord God, art jealous over thy children and over thy church, that Satan cannot and shall not destroy. O we praise thee, Heavenly Father, for the wonders of thy love to thy people, to thy church, and thy continued favors day by day upon this earth, that the promises of the seasons shall not fail to the end of time. O God, thou art so great and so high, so far above us in our thoughts and knowledge of thee. How wondrous art thou, how great thou art. O in the sending of Jesus Christ to fulfill that eternal covenant of love, that a people may be drawn out of Satan's kingdom, and that may come trembling to find the forgiveness of sins, that communion with thee and that peace with thee. O that thou hast reconciled a people to thee. Wonderful and sacred themes, and we bow before thee, Lord, in wonder and amazement, that thou should take to thyself such a perverse and rebellious people, and conform them unto thyself. The wonders of Jesus Christ, our glorious Savior, the precious names and offices of Emmanuel, and the glories of Calvary made known to the soul, the wondrous resurrection power and life to the dead, and the conforming to his precious image, breathing life into those who had no life within them, and granting them that they might be subdued through the awfulness of the iniquity within them. Oh, we praise thee, Father, for the ascension of our dear Savior into heaven, for him who sits at thy right hand even now making intercession for us, that we might pray in confidence and boldness coming to the throne of grace, for he heareth us, and that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Oh, we would worship him. Oh, we would call upon thy name, Lord Jesus Christ, in boldness, for thou hast destroyed Satan and death and hell, and art our comfort and hope in this life, and our joy, our bliss, our felicity in the eternity to come. O sacred Father, we bless thee and praise thee for the wonders of thy Holy Spirit, the dove, the comforter, and the revealer and remembrancer of all things, the inditer of prayer, and the leader unto Jesus Christ. O now we would fall before thee, to praise and thank thee for these truths. And now, O Heavenly Father, that thou might apply the truths of the Word of God into our souls, remember us in mercy, for we are sinners. And Lord Jesus, to make up what we fail in asking, forgive all that we have spoken amiss. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 668. Jehovah God, eternal Lord most high, permit a worm to bow before thy throne, a worm deserving endless misery, but pleads the blood that did for sin atone. 668.
Certainly, if you want to need the Lord's help again for this morning hour, we draw your prayerful attention to the chapter that we have read together in Matthew chapter 24 and the 28th verse. Matthew 24, verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Well, beloved friends, we have again this morning hour gathered in the sacred house of God to hear his precious word. But what a solemn thing when the word of God is one that is so exceeding full of warning. I used to always think that this text word meant the church gathering around the body of Christ. And we hope and pray this morning that we may never veer from that precious theme of a crucified Savior. But beloved friends, this word has an entirely different meaning. This word is the pronunciation, we would say, of the doom and destruction of the Jewish nation. This is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ of that coming time in the very near future of the nation of Israel coming to an end, of the destruction of the temple. As we began in the beginning of this chapter, there shall not one stone be left upon another of this building. And it speaks, beloved friends, that the tribes of the world, which is the tribes of the nation of Israel, shall be utterly dispersed. And that the corpses of the Jews shall be spread throughout the land of Israel. And how that word of God came to fruition. How the word of the Lord Jesus Christ in his solemn warnings of a nation that rejected him. He came unto his own, and his own received them not. That the nation of Israel would come to an utter end. And throughout the different tribes of Israel, throughout the farming country, throughout the hills and throughout the valleys, the bodies would be strewn. The eagle, beloved friends, is a sign, the insignia of the Roman army. That eagle with its spread wings was a sign of the Roman legions as they advanced in their armies, in their utter destruction of their enemies. If you read the commentary of John Calvin, John Gill, Dr. Lightfoot, they all come in union with this interpretation that it is the eagles of the Roman armies that come to Israel and wipe the land out. They are the judgment of God against an ungodly nation who has rejected the Messiah. And then we read in then shall there also be the drawing in of his elect, that is after the destruction of Israel and dispersion of the Jews, and then shall his angel, which is his minister, shall go forth throughout the lands, pronouncing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But this morning, beloved friends, we want to speak of the judgments of God upon the Jews and then bring them as they pertain to us in the Gentile lands. And then we bring in, beloved friends, the wondrous and sacred truths of the dying Savior, the dear Lamb of God slain on behalf of his church, that they too may all glory unto God feed on his precious body. We want to begin, friends, and we said already the judgments of God against the Jews. And when Jesus said to his disciples that this temple, this beautiful temple, This glorious temple, the dwelling place of God, shall be destroyed. Then how alarmed were the disciples, and they said, when shall these things be? When shall these signs come to pass that these things shall truly happen amongst us? And then the Lord Jesus begins to give the signs of the times. The signs of when they shall know that these things shall surely come to pass. And he says, we're smart enough. We're smart enough, or the disciples are smart enough to look at a fig tree. You know that when a fig tree puts forth his tender branches and the leaves spring forth from these tender branches, then summer is nigh. This is a parable. Learn from this. You can see the fig tree and know that summer is nigh. Look at these signs, at the fulfillment of these signs. Look at the condition of the nation, what is prevailing in your midst, and see that the end is nigh. The end of this nation is coming, and its destruction shall soon come to pass. And you've seen that in Israel, in the judgments of Israel. You read the history of Josephus and how the Romans did come, how they ransacked that temple, how they slaughtered the men, the women, and the children without any mercy. One would be taken, another left. One would be thrust through by the spear, and another should escape captivity. And there was no end of bodies lying in the streets. And there in Masada, the end of the deep rebellion against the occupying nation, there they slaughtered their own women and children and committed suicide, where the last just under 1,000 Jews died. These things, dear friends, they came to pass. And when that word dropped in my spirit, and when I understood the truth of these texts, you know, you can only my heart sunk. What do these things mean, dear friends? What do they mean to us when we see these signs and when we see these truths and realities? In some ways, I feel like the prophet Jeremiah, with a heavy heart to speak these truths and realities in our time. Young families, in that sense, raising up young children and delighting and thanking God for our families and for the health given to us and the prosperous life that we have in that sense and for health and the outward peace that we enjoy. And to have such a word enter the spirit and to have to speak it, like Samuel to Eli. Oh, that you may be made faithful, friends, to want to hear the word of God in your hearts today. To want to hear the truths of the word of God. As the Lord Jesus said, these are the signs of the coming judgments of God. And he begins to describe them. He begins to set them forth. Many Christs. The gospel of Jesus Christ so greatly altered. False prophets abounding throughout the land. Many saying, I am the Christ, or I am the way to Christ. Many, many preachers preaching with confidence and preaching a false Jesus Christ and deceiving the souls of the hearers. And do we not have that in our time too? The abundance of false prophets deceiving the hearers, preaching peace, crying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Setting the hearers at rest when they ought to be troubled and alarmed and deeply concerned for the welfare of their never-dying soul. He speaks of the wars and rumors of wars and nation rising against nation. Troublesome times. And you see, if you read the history of Israel, and you see there was such turmoil, there was the continual opposing of the armies. The Grecians were losing their power. Egypt was continually thrusting in the land of Judea, and the Babylonians were there. The Romans were coming in to absolutely annihilate everyone. Utter unrest, nation against nation. pestilences and famines and all manner of the evil consequences of sin upon the land. These were the signs of that time. And Jesus describes them. They should have, they ought have, they could have seen these things were they not so blind. Many shall be offended. Persecution rise up against the name of Jesus Christ and the cause of Jesus Christ and the church of Jesus Christ. All these things were the signs that Jesus said, these things are coming. And when you see these things, know that the time is near. And we saw it. It happened exactly as our gracious Jesus Christ, Him who knows the end from the beginning, before it ever comes to pass, told His hearers, so shall it be. And thus it came to pass. We want to move from that scene, beloved friends, to our present day. And we pray into the hearts and souls of you people. I've thought of that word in Mark 13, verse 37. And there, friends, we might read that for a minute and find why we may come to speak this word and pray that it might enter into our hearts. I want to step back to the 32nd verse and read to the end. Mark 13, 32 to 37, it says this, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray. For ye know not when the time is, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. That these warnings, that the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ may enter our hearts with a living reality. And that if we at this moment, dear friends, live in an unconcerned state, and if we live yet at this moment thinking there is yet time, Jesus exhorts such one to watch. This is a living word of God for all ages, all times, all people in all circumstances. It is, beloved friends, the holy word of God written for the benefit of our souls to bring us in repentance unto God to find salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we, whithersoever the carcasses, thither shall the eagles be gathered together, we find such a parallel in the end of times. We want to come to there shortly, beloved friends, let us just go there for a moment. Romans 19. Romans 19 speaks, beloved friends, exactly like our text. Carcasses and fowls. Not the eagle, but fowls of heaven. Those solemn words of our Lord written in Revelation 19, verse 17, 18, and 21. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. These are those who do not have the mark that God has put on their forehead that they are his. They have received the mark of the beast. They do not know, dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They do not desire him to be their Savior, nor their Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And his word has never entered the soul with power and preciousness. And why it is so exceedingly vital for us in this afternoon, beloved friends, is when we consider our own spiritual welfare and whether or not we are under the safe and abiding wings of the Son of Righteousness. How stands the case, dear hearers, in your souls? We sung that hymn again in the young people address, "Pause my soul and ask the question, am I ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian washed in the Redeemer's blood?" How can we answer such a question as we examine our souls? As the realities, dear friends, of such a text would enter into our hearts. Am I prepared to meet him, my Savior? Shall the fowls of the heavens eat my carcass? When the Lord drops in such a message, and we have to deliver it as we feel it is applied to our consciences, beloved friends, is it not that most solemn and sacred warning, and the need that we might cry unto God in heaven, and that we might, and I say it reverently, for the word of God says it, that we might waken his ear morning by morning, that we might fill his ear with our petitions, and that he might enter our soul as our God and Savior. Look around us in this nation. We go to our nation at home. There is an abundance of that false gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a preaching of a Lord Jesus Christ and a man. There is that preaching a Christ that is completely absent in the Word of God. There is the deluding of millions of people. In our home, and we feel especially in the United States, what we would call a Christian nation, yet there is such an Arminian spirit that scarce we can find that true Calvinistic doctrine amongst Christians. A rejection, dear friends, of the true Jesus. And a rejection of how the gate of heaven is opened up through the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the glorious and wondrous truths of God who awakens a man, God who quickens a man, God who performs all the work of salvation in a man. It's almost silent in the preaching this day. A false Christ. Nation against nation. You have it in your own land in this Brexit issue. This striving against one another in the state of Russia or of China, in the jostling back and forth with the United States for power, nation against nation. There is so much evil. Iniquity doth abound, and the love of many doth wax cold. You see the vile immorality of our land and the impudence of now not just a small minority, but now also of our leaders that are giving in to all this insanity, all this immorality. It is said, read it in one of the commentators in that word of the iniquity, that it had a connotation to the love of of gays and lesbians and this immoral love and this union of partners in this most wicked way. That's what we have today. And one minister in the United States, he made a comment, and he said, "The last step before the judgments of God are homosexuality. Men with men, men with men, women with women. That's the last step that mankind takes before God sends his judgments upon that people." That filthiness abounds throughout the world. If we don't realize, if we don't take these things to heart, this word dropped in my spirit, beloved friends, sets forth the need again. Watch, watch, watch and pray. The time for the judgments of God we fear are hastening. The fig tree has put forth its branch and leaf. We do not, beloved friends, have any more excuse. We have heard. And the Lord might give us some common sense to see, that we might know that the time of Jesus is now coming again now. It is said that there are four times common in the course of history: the time of Noah, the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the end times. They all have a common aspect in it, a common correlation. One, carcasses and the fowls of the heavens eating them, the utter destruction of that particular people. The time of Noah, the world. The time of Sodom and Gomorrah, those two wicked cities. The time of Jesus, the Jews in particular. And at the end of times, all flesh. They have that correlation, that comparison, dear friends, of utter wickedness. We have the utter abandoning of God and his word, his commandments, the following of him, the obedience of him, the loving of him. And each of these times we see the same things. What a solemn thing, dear friends, as we approach the end of times. What a solemn thing when we have such a message to preach and for you as hearers to hear. And may it bring into the unregenerate and the unprepared the cry for mercy. For in each message, beloved friends, of judgment, there is a message of mercy. From each of these messages and discourses of truth and reality of man's wickedness, and that in man's wickedness, judgment must come. There is an escape. There is a remedy. There is a hope for poor dying sinners. There is a place we may flee. There is a name we may plead. And there is a flesh we may eat. And may the Lord grant us, beloved friends, that this might be the day of preparation. And this might be the day that the Lord drives the arrow of conviction into the souls of the unregenerate. And that the Lord might touch the heart of the careless and the indifferent. I believe it's in Luke 13 again. Luke 13 again, it brings in this warning. Luke 12. The word is that those that are overcharged with the things of this world might not be consumed by them. That is the word. Of course, I can't. It speaks, "Thou hast much goods laid up for many years, and take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God has said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Whose shall these things which thou hast provided?" Oh, we become so consumed in the world. Are you today, beloved friends, one of those whom the world busies you, consumes you, snares you, overcharged with the word I'm looking for is that overcharged with the surfeiting or the excessiveness of the world, beloved friends? Are we those ones? Is our treasure yet upon this earth? Has Jesus Christ the preeminence, or is Jesus Christ in second or third or fourth or last place? That becomes the vital inquiry of our souls. As this day hastens on. In that same chapter where we quoted, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. We find there too the word that he made the world. He came into the world. And the world knew him not. He proclaimed the truths of himself. In this precious book we have before us this morning hour is recorded, beloved friends, the wonders of salvation, the destruction of Satan, the bringing in of the forgiveness of sins, and the purchasing of the church through the wondrous works of the dear dying man. But what does it do us good, beloved friends, if it is not in our soul? When he comes to summon us before him, to give an account of our deeds, whether good or evil, what shall it avail us, friends, when we have gained the world and lost the soul? May the Lord bring the unconverted in our midst now as a poor, trembling sinner to come before the Lord with confessions of bankruptcy and poverty, utter ignorance. I had not known, I had not seen, I had not felt, I had not trembled. I had had no earnest anxiety to the soul over these things. Is there yet forgiveness for me? That the Lord may touch your hearts and bring you to that sacred dying Lamb of God. We want to move there, beloved friends, in the solemnity of this message, in the, we would say, the awfulness of this message, and in the realities of it, there is yet a way of escape. And that we would direct your poor eyes to that dear dying Lamb. And what Jesus Christ said in his precious gospel, I believe it's the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. And that is such a precious chapter unto those who were worthy to die. What we sung that in him. A base, ungrateful monster I have been. Have you felt that? A base, ungrateful monster I have been in the sight of this God who pronounces judgment upon the ungodly. Oh, what a wretched, wretched sinner I have been. What a neglecter of the graces of God. What a neglecter of the word of God. How I've spent my time foolishly in the things of this world and upon my own filthy, selfish lusts. To be brought there, beloved friends, in that sweet confession. That's a sweet confession. Although they see there's nothing sweet in themselves. They are sour and bitter fruit of that wild olive tree. Oh, they feel nothing but bitterness, and they feel nothing but an emptiness, and feel nothing but a loathsomeness in the sight of this God. But how they desire to taste of that lovely man. To eat his flesh and drink his blood by living faith and live. And there was in that chapter again, many that from that day forth would no longer be his disciples, for his sayings were too hard to bear. What, eat his flesh and drink his blood? And from that time forth, many walked away from him. But there were those beloved friends, that we might compare them to eagles. In a completely different sense, and I don't say in the context of our chapter this morning. But thanks be unto God, we are not limited in that sense, beloved friends, to one interpretation of this word. We may bring and direct your eyes again to the eagles that hasten to their prey, that is, to their beloved master. Oh, they've been given that eyesight, dear friends, that they would feast on Jesus Christ, that is, that they might live from his virtues, that they might live from his works upon earth, and that they might find the satisfaction of their souls in what Jesus Christ has done on earth. And not that Jesus Christ has done, performed this wonder on earth, that it may be known and applied to their souls. Do we have such an eye? That we may speak reverently of this carcass, that we may speak reverently that it is the body, the sacred body of our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is that sacred divinity of God as it descended, the Son of God descended to earth and left his glory behind. And descended into that state of humiliation to become bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh and partakers of our human body and of our human soul. That he might represent these poor eagles who feel their condemnation, their just condemnation and their filth and unworthiness and their base ungratitude. That he is and has become their only hope on this earth. And that's what we pray it might be the occasion of such a solemn message today, beloved friends. It is the exercise of the unregenerate to flee for refuge to this beloved slain body of Jesus, and that the living child of God may feast again on the wonders of redemption and the rich favors of Christ to the poor and needy soul. Are our eyes fastened on him? Are our eyes, beloved, fastened on the glorious wonders of the dying of Jesus Christ? Oh, can we weep at his precious feet, the one who gave up his life for us, his friends? We who were enemies of the cross of Christ, enemies to the truth of Christ, have become his friends through his old word, "Ye are my friends." And greater love hath no man that he gives his life for his friends, that they might partake of his flesh and blood. The wondrous truth, friends, of eating the flesh of Jesus Christ and drinking of his precious blood. His broken, bruised, battered body, crushed to the earth. He was bruised for our transgressions, and that we might partake of that dying Savior, that our transgressions may be forever removed behind the Lord's back into that ocean of forgetfulness. That we may come in that humble reverence and partake of dear Emmanuel, God with us, in our form, in his sweet compassion, to lay down his life for us, the blackest of sheep, and the most ungrateful, vilest of monsters on this earth. Wonder of wonders, that we may come by living faith and receive the truth of this dear dying man, taking of that precious blood and drinking with sweet relish that which cleanses from all sin. That is, beloved friends, to eat the flesh and drink the blood of Christ by faith is to receive communion from heaven, from my heavenly Father, through the wonders of the dear dying Lamb, who gave himself a ransom for many. And blessed be God, a ransom for me. And may it be, beloved friends, and we may come in sweet union, an echo of soul for me too. Oh, I have tasted the wonders of redeeming blood. I have tasted the wonders of this dear Emmanuel, imputing to me the knowledge of my sins forgiven. That powerful work wherein I cannot find my sins anymore, they're gone. And my soul is lifted up in holy rapture and wonder of the dear dying Savior made known to me. To eat his precious body, beloved friends, his flesh, and to drink his blood is to taste of the gifts of God in love, in joy, in peace, in harmony with God. is to come in that sweet familiarity and yet sacred reverence and deep humility unto my Heavenly Father, and to receive from His precious hand the supplies of grace necessary for my soul. It is to taste the peace of God in a troubled conscience, consumed by guilt, and troubled by guilt, and burdened by guilt, and to feel that there is peace, I have peace with my God. And that peace, dear friends, that rest, that sinking into the arms of God to trust in Him and confide in Him in all things, is to eat of this precious body of Jesus Christ. Have we tasted of this flesh, this holy flesh of Emmanuel? That hymn 698 that we sung with the young people again. But if thou art still a stranger, think and tremble, death is now upon the road. But if, beloved friends, we may know something of the sacred comforts of Emmanuel, how he cheers our heart, he warms and stirs up our hearts with that warmth and zeal of the soul, and our eyes directed to heaven, and we may come upon our knees, beloved friends, unto Jesus Christ and say, Lord, thou knowest all things. We may come with Peter in that humble reverence and that humility of spirit under the convictions of our own poverty and say, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest all things. My heart yearns for thee. My heart desires thee. And there is none in heaven or on earth that my eye is directed to, that my cry is fastened to, and my hope is upon, than the Lord Jesus Christ. That, beloved friends, is to eat of that sacred body of Christ. Well, dear friends, we come to the end again and inquire of one another of what we do think of God's gift to this earth. If we know something, beloved friends, of eating of His body and drinking of His blood, then we may know something of the exceeding greatness of the love of God to this world in the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that we might know something of that humble reverence of thanking our Most High God of overcoming all that was within us. We had been members, we had become of this army of corpse who lie as the supper of fowls of the heaven, had it be not for the mercy of our God, had it be not for that precious election of God where He called us, where He chose us and drew us out of darkness into His marvelous light, we had been the feast of the fowls of heaven. And the child of God will come to confess, O Lord God, I do praise Thee for the power and wisdom that is in Thine to have wakened my heart out of darkness and stirred up my spirit to seek Thee. And dear friends, if there ever was a cry in my soul, it is this, that same almighty power that stops each of the Lord's children might arrest the unregenerate and the careless and indifferent in our midst this morning hour, to become those seekers after God, inquirers after that same mercy and that same flesh and blood that the child of God has been partaker of. We know not whom the Lord has written in the book of life. But beloved friends, may the Lord grant unto us that hope or that plea that God, who is rich in mercy, God who is the eternal God, has that boundless source of mercy to give to the wretched, to the rebel, to the poor dying man. Each of these sacred truths, friends, spoken this morning hour ought to give us an encouragement and ought to give us a hope to direct our eyes to heaven and pray to the Lord for the quickening of our souls and the preparation of our souls for the never-ending eternity, that we might not have that judgment pronounced upon us, that God has rejected us because we would not. I thought of that word in Psalm 51, verse 4. And dear friends, the Lord is a righteous God in all his dealings, in all his ways. That thou might be a clear when thou speakest, and right when thou judgest, justified when thou judgest. God, dear friends, shall have no guilt, no sin in the damnation of our souls. The guilt, the shame, the sin is ours. Your sins have separated between you and your God. Your iniquities and your trespasses are the cause that God is indignified against us. And may the Lord open up our eyes to see this, that from the head to the sole of the feet we are sores and wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, and there is no good within us. And that this shall be the just end of all mankind. May the Lord apply the mercy of himself to us. May the Lord bring an urgency and a haste in the souls of the unregenerate. And may the Lord bring his dear children time and time again to beg and plead with our God to feed us again and again of this lamb that was slain, that we too, my beloved friends, might be prepared. All seems like so many of the messages here, dear friends, again, are of that urgency, of that striving, of that overcoming. He that overcometh to the end, oh, that one shall be saved. He that is a continual seeker after that communion in Jesus Christ, to find favors in Jesus Christ. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame. Or on Thursday night, that we might increase in the knowledge of our God and being fruitful in every good work, striving to enter into the straight gate. May the Lord grant us, beloved friends, that zeal, that fervency, that cry in our souls, that daily we might be partakers of the Lamb of God, that daily we might be increasing in the wonders of redemption and God's rich favor to mankind. Oh, that he has spared us from such a judgment that shall come upon millions and millions and millions of others. Oh, the mercy, the riches of the mercy of God. Ephesians, God, who is rich in his mercy unto us, with the love wherewith he has loved us. May you and I, friends, become partakers of that precious gift, the wonders of the dying Lamb of God, and all shall be well. We need not fear. We need not fear the solemn judgments of God. They shall pass over us. They were laid upon him. The judgments of God against the ungodly were laid on him, his ungodly people. While ye were yet ungodly, and while ye were yet sinners, Romans 5, God reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but laid them on his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And dear friends, you and I, we need that same precious truth revealed to us. The imputation of our sins unto Jesus and the imputation of his righteousness into our souls. And then we need not fear these judgments, but we may come in humble reverence before God and thank him that he has delivered us from such judgments, which, beloved friends, were our just due and reward. May the Lord have all the honor and glory in this message, and may our souls, beloved friends, be brought to fall in humble repentance and great need to the feet of Jesus Christ to receive the blessings out of his precious dying body. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted £700, for which we're truly thankful. God willing, Mr. Decker hopes to address the Sunday school this afternoon and preach again on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. And next Lord's Day afternoon will be the Sunday school prize giving. And on Friday evening, there'll be a gathering of the young people at Andy and Bex's. And also, there is a meeting of the TBS auxiliary on Saturday, the details of which are on the notice board. Let us close with hymn 208. Jesus, lover of thy nation, Saviour of thy people free, visit us with thy salvation. Let us, Lord, thy glory see. O revive us, that we may rejoice in thee. 208.
Dear Lord, the that thou would forgive with thy holy eyes all that thou hast seen amiss in our gathering together this morning. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.